Welcome to the Early Years Learning Hub podcast and to the very first in our series titled Professional Learning Tapas. My name is Jackie Ward and I'm the founder and managing director of the Early Years Learning Hub, where we offer practical resources for passionate professionals. We have a range of resources that are evidence-based and filled with practical examples, scaffolds, templates to support teachers, educators and leaders in early childhood and school age care services and the early years of school be the best they can be. So this series is part of that suite of resources, and these episodes aim to give you some quick and easily digested professional learning on the go. You can listen on your commute to or from work, maybe when you're doing the washing or washing up at home, whatever floats your boat. Often these episodes link back to some of our courses, so if you like what you hear, you can purchase a course or maybe even look into membership to our online networking platform to find out more about that particular topic. Today we are talking about knowing your stuff, and I wanted to start here because I think it's the foundation of everything that I will talk to you about in our podcast and everything that I talk to you about in our courses as well. It really is key to everything you do as a teacher, educator and leader, whether or not you're in the school space, early childhood space, education, school age care space, wherever you work. Knowing your stuff really makes a difference. It makes everything about what you do and how you do it easier, more efficient and more effective, and helps, I think, to help make you feel more confident. So knowing your stuff, obviously, first and foremost, you need to anyway. It is part of your professional accountability when you work in the education space. In any profession, really, where you need to know what you're required to do, what the expectations are of your role. If you are in a space that's heavily legislated, particularly in the early childhood space, you need to know what those legal requirements are, so you make sure you're meeting them. But also, as I said, because it makes things a lot easier. I think that once you know what you're doing, you don't spend a lot of that frenetic energy worrying about, oh, is this the right thing to do? Is this going to be meeting requirements? Is this going to pass in any, assessment and rating or external audits, those sorts of things. It gives you confidence to be innovative and creative as well in what you're doing. So find ways of working that work for you. I mean, I know that there's lots and lots of conversation, in the education field at all levels about the onus of, responsibilities with documenting children's learning, assessing and planning for children's learning. I think if you know what you are required to do, then you are more likely to be able to develop a process that works for you. Obviously, you still need to sit in within your system requirements of your organization or your school that you work for, but definitely knowing having some flexibility and some autonomy around that will help when you know what you're required to do. So what stuff do you need to know? The learning frameworks and curriculum documents. So before and after school care and in early childhood, the approved learning frameworks are My Time, Our Place and the Early Years Learning Framework. And in school, it'll be the Australian curriculum or the New South Wales versions of that. Or if you're listening internationally, whatever your curriculum documents are in your space, know them well. I know it seems a little bit who's got time to do that? Split it up, read some sections at a time. I know that the New South Wales syllabus are, quite onerous and cumbersome, but just read some sections at a time. I know the learning frameworks are set up where you can just read a practice or a principle or one of the learning outcomes. Go through those and know what you're doing. It really, really helps you to understand what it is that you're teaching and how you might teach it. Regulatory requirements in your space. Now, this is related to education, but also some things that fall outside of that. For example, as workers, we have workers' health and safety legislation in Australia. We have requirements around privacy, immunisation. You don't have to know the stuff inside and out, but generally what are the requirements around that? You know, in New South Wales, for child protection, for example, there is permission to share information if you feel a child is in danger, which, you know, overrides, I guess, privacy legislation. That's just an example, I guess. When you know your stuff, it helps. What are the quality expectations in your workplace and overarching? You know, we have in the early childhood space the National Quality Standard. I know in New South Wales we have, you know, quality teaching frameworks, wellbeing frameworks. A lot of schools use positive behaviour learning, lots of different things. So what are the standards and expectations of wherever you work in whatever space and whatever your particular service or school engages with? Know those sorts of expectations. Again, you don't have to know them overnight. You don't have to sit down and read them and spend your whole weekend doing that. But dip into it every time you've got a question. Go to yourself. What's the regulatory requirement in this space? If you're talking about documentation, there's more information in, as I said, in our courses. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I don't even know where to start, you can go to our educational program and practice guidance course, for example. But knowing what the expectations and the standards are helps you to, I guess, measure and reflect on your practice and see whether or not you are operating at, you know, in the way that you should be. And again, when you know that you are, when you know that you're implementing high quality teaching and learning, then I think it helps, you know, you feel great about that. Theory, research, and contemporary practice. I know there's lots and lots of, you know, I guess, conjecture out there that says, you know, should we link a theorist to every observation in the early childhood space, or how should we work with theory? In my opinion, how theory and research influence our work is that they help us to understand better what we're doing, what we're seeing, how we should be interacting. Contemporary practice is also, you know, that understanding of how various people have applied that theory and research. So what's good practice for now, for that age group, for example, or for that way of learning based on new approaches and new understandings of the way people have applied theory and research? So where do you get that from? That's part of being a part of some professional networks, associations in the early childhood space. Early Childhood Australia is a good one for that. They have articles and research and lots of great things. But that idea you've got some way of keeping current, if you haven't already, signing up for newsletters. You know, each jurisdiction regulatory authority in the early childhood space has newsletters that you can sign up for. The Early Years Learning Hub has a news and updates that we regularly share little snippets of research, theory, or contemporary practice. So you can get an idea of, you know, someone's keeping you updated with that sort of information. But if you come to something new that you're looking at trying, or, you know, some way that you'd like to improve on practice, then even just Googling whatever that topic is and coming up with some research and some theories around that. So how does it benefit you? How does knowing your stuff benefit you? I believe that it gives you a great deal more confidence in all aspects of your work. So any conversation that you have with a colleague or with an authorised officer or your principal or, you know, a family member, you know, a family at your service or school, it gives you an opportunity to draw on the knowledge that's required. For example, if a family might be challenging a particular practice that you have that you know relates to the requirements of the National Quality Standard, or it's a curriculum inclusion, or whatever the case may be, you can confidently speak to that as to why the decision is being made around that particular thing, and it is part of what we're required to do in our work with children, or in our learning programs or teaching programs. I think it benefits you because you present as more professional to families and the broader community, because you know what you're talking about and you can feel confident in what you're doing. You feel confident in talking to your own family and friends about what you do and how it makes a big difference and how your job is really, really important. I think that's a really important part of, helping you feel great as a professional is that idea that you're advocating for the value of your work and how important it is to improve outcomes for children. The next thing is that you can make systems and processes work for you, knowing that you're meeting the requirements and the expectations. So if you currently have a requirement in your workplace around whatever it is, reporting, assessment, documentation, taking pictures of children, for example, if you know that there's a new national code that's talking about reducing the amount of images for children in early childhood, let's say, you can talk to the fact about that. How about we can reconsider our approaches to taking so many pictures of children, for example? I'm just thinking of lots of examples that I've come across in the social media platforms that I am involved in. And, you know, that idea of constantly taking pictures of children is something that's very time consuming and sharing them with families. And I'm not sure how and why that became an expectation. But as I said before, you can be innovative and creative in what you do. I am a bit of a nerd, I will give you that. I love to find better and more efficient and more effective and richer ways of assessing and planning for children, you know, making sure that I'm capturing what I need to in terms of what's required in our learning frameworks and our legislation, but then also meeting the needs of what I think families are really interested in, which is more detailed information about their own individual child, and ways to really give children agency and ownership of their learning journey and capture and value and honour their voices in the process as well. So I think knowing what you're required to do helps you be innovative and creative in that. And this last point, while I can't guarantee it because, every space is different, I do believe you'll achieve a better result when you go through assessment, room rating, curriculum audits, external validation or any other type of audit or review because you know what you're talking about. You can talk to the requirements and how what you do meets those requirements or in that early childhood space exceeds those requirements. You know, you can talk to the fact that you're genuinely engaging in those exceeding theme practices or whatever it might be. And most importantly, I think knowing your stuff helps you feel great about your work, able to see the reason behind why all the rules and regulations exist, because it is a really important reason why they all exist. Most importantly, to keep children safe and healthy. And, you know, we definitely want that to be happening. If you don't, then you're in the wrong profession. And also to progress children's learning, you know, in genuine, authentic ways, to collaborate and to, you know, with colleagues and families to help make that learning richer and more meaningful and improve outcomes for children, you know. So I think that's one of the reasons. So that I said I'd keep it short and sharp. So that's it. I'm going to wrap it up now. I mentioned that I'll tell you about some of the courses that I recommend if you want to know more. So the Early Years Learning Hub has a learning frameworks course that unpacks the approved learning framework. So Early Years Learning Framework and My Time, Our Place in Early Childhood and School Age Care. I think this would even be a very helpful course from a pedagogical point of view for teachers in the early years of school as well. Obviously, you know, you've got mandated curriculum in that space, but I don't think there's a lot of pedagogical advice out there for teachers. And particularly if you're interested in that early years of school space, implementing some more play-based pedagogy, I really recommend that. We also have a course called What and How Children Learn Through Play. And I think that's a really interesting one if we're thinking about the early years and how children learn best through play. That gives you an idea of that. We also have a course understanding play-based learning in the early years, which goes through a lot of the evidence and research around that. And that's sort of for all sectors, but specifically that school sector. We have some courses, What to Teach and How to Teach It. So it gives you an idea of, what sort of things you need to teach. More focused in on the early childhood space, but definitely the How to Teach would be relevant for both. And then for the early childhood and school age care space, Educational Program and Practice Guidance course. And I think I was going to say one more thing. Oh, we do also, if you're listening to this pod and you are just starting out in your career, we have some great courses for beginning teachers and educators. So what are the expectations of the role, all that sort of stuff. We also have unpacking the requirements of the role for the educational leader in the early childhood space as well. So some courses there that you might want to follow up on. Thank you for listening to the Early Years Learning Hub podcast. We look forward to bringing more professional learning tapas episodes to you in the future. Don't forget to follow us so you know when our latest episodes have dropped.